it all. Not very some good preachers can sing too, but he does them both.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 3. Glad you're here today. Katie, happy birthday. I'm just getting caught up to your birthday, even though it was last Wednesday. Preacher thought it was this coming Wednesday. So happy belated birthday, and maybe this Wednesday I'll even say happy birthday again.
Yeah.
I thought it was this coming Wednesday. 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's a good one for you. I want to give you, before I preach, I want to give you a saying from Davy Crockett. I love Davy Crockett. Those are my kind of guys. There ain't no ticks like politics, bloodsuckers all. Oh, well. That reminds me of Washington. It wasn't no different back then, was it, Brian?
No.
Here's the title. Preacher, what do you see coming? What do you see coming? 2 Peter chapter 3, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Glad you're here today. Hey, Naomi, good to see you and Rich. I didn't know you folks were in town. Good to see you, amen. God bless you. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant. There's a lot of ignorant people. Our country's really went away from the things of God. When you read the Bible, you're ignorant. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You know, Dee was just telling me, was it two or three? Three people saved? Two people saved? Two saved in our Sunday school class today.
Amen.
And I get excited every time someone gets saved. Amen?
Amen.
God's promise of eternal life, if you'll trust him as Savior, he promises eternal life. It's always there. It's even though it's been 2,000 years ago, there's still, like they sing in the song, there's still room at the cross.
Amen.
Though a million have come, there's still room for one. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should go to have, go, so that all should go come to repentance. By the way, it's not good. God's will, any goes to hell. People go to hell, it's not God's fault.
Right.
And this bit about people elected to go to heaven and people elected to go to hell, don't you believe it? God said it's not his will that any perish.
Amen.
All people have an opportunity to be saved.
Yes, sir.
If you go to hell, it's not God's fault.
Right.
Notice verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fever and heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. By the way, you talk about global warming. Now this is global warming. I mean, this is really, kids, this is global warming. They talk. We had in the month of July, I know we're August 2nd today.
Right.
We had the lowest recorded temperatures in this area in all history that they've been, since they've been recorded. We got the lowest temperature recorded in July,
yep.
But we've got global warming. No, this, what you're reading now, that's global warming. Let me read that verse 11. Let me read verse 10 again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, now that's global warming, Brother Tony, now that's global warming.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The earth also, the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, boy, I'm glad I've got his promise. I'm not letting no one take his promise from me.
Amen.
Brother, we stand strong in that old King James Bible here.
Amen.
I'm not letting anybody take this King James Bible from me.
Amen.
Listen, this Bible is filled with promises. You can believe every one of them.
Amen.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him, peace, without spot, and blameless. Look at that verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things. What are you looking for today? Seeing you look for such things. What do you see coming? I'm going to talk to you about that subject. Preacher, what do you see coming? Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that I could be a blessing to these people. Holy Spirit, fill me. And I pray with all my heart. People drove a long ways, and Lord, they're looking for something from heaven. Please, help me to be a blessing to each one. Give me words from heaven that would mean something to their heart and help their lives. Lord, help me to do well for you today that I could be a blessing to them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Listen, we're living in some very exciting days. And there's some exciting days ahead of us. Listen, I know there's a lot of things going on that's not really good right now, but I'm going to tell you, I think it's exciting. Amen. I think every day with Jesus is exciting.
Amen.
I'm not going to get blown out of what's going on with Obama and what's going on in Washington, D.C., and what they're doing with the car factories and everything else. Listen, I'm just going to keep looking up.
Amen.
My faith and hope is in Jesus. Listen, there ain't hope in the White House. There's hope in the church house in the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not looking for the Undertaker. I'm waiting for the Upper Taker. Amen.
Amen.
We're living, though, in exciting days, and we've got some exciting days ahead of us. Some of you here today, I know you're going through some difficult times. There's a lot of my people going through it. I don't know how hard you guys hit in Michigan, but Ohio's been hit pretty hard financially. There's a lot of people losing their jobs. I got some of my faithful members just last week lost their jobs. And they've never been laid off. They've worked for years and been laid off. And some of you people here today are, and the Lord's put this on my heart to say this a lot. Some of you here today are going through some difficult times, and the Lord told me to tell you, don't quit.
Amen.
If you're going through a hard time right now, don't quit, don't give up.
Amen.
Brother Bobby, I have you give a testimony tonight. God did something special for them. I'm glad you didn't give up. I'm glad you didn't quit. There's a lot of people I know in my congregation today. You're going through some pressures and you got some stresses. If you're here today and you got a lot of pressure and stress on you, I want to tell you from the Lord, don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. Did you hear me? Don't quit. You're here today and some of you are facing some great financial problems and burdens. Don't quit. Don't quit. I know we got some exciting things ahead of us and some trying days ahead of us, but don't quit. Some of you have got some, there's no doubt in the congregation but my size, no doubt there's some people here that's having family problems. You might be having trouble with your spouse, or you might be having trouble with one of your kids in your home, and you're about ready to just throw your hands up and say, what's the use? If you're that way today, can I say something to you? Don't quit. Don't give up. Work harder. Look to God. Draw strength from Him. I've got a message. Years ago, in 1979, on March 22nd, at Hammond, First Baptist Church at Hammond, Indiana, Lester Olof preached a message. You kids were even born then. He preached the message, Poland in the Valley. And I almost preached it today. I almost did it. I preached it several times, but once a year I preach it. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of people going through some hard times. Remember Dr. Heil saying, be good to everybody. Because everybody's having a hard time. But I remember old Lester Roloff. He's in heaven now. You might have heard about Lester Roloff and seen pictures. I've heard some of his tapes. He preached a message called Paul in the Valley. He talked about how Job 39 said about the horse with his nostrils. He pulled it in the valley. Boy, I'll never forget that. I remember running down the aisle just saying, God, I remember that night like it's just yesterday. I had already surrendered to preach years before that. But I remember that message meant so much to me. Earlier that day, Dr. House preached fresh oil. Oh, I couldn't speak for 20 minutes after he got done preaching. And that night, when Lester Roloff preached, I ran down an aisle and I said, "Oh God, if you can use my life, just use my life, whatever you can, God. Just take me and I promise I'll serve you to the day I die." Some of you here today, you might feel like quitting because there's battles. Life is a battle. You young people, it's a battle. Preachers know that's a battle. And it seems like, Brother Mike, after one battle, you get done with one battle, there's another one coming over the next horizon. It just seems like people are faced with one heartache after heartache, sorrow after sorrow, battle after battle. And God, Tony, I didn't let that message die. I have a different outline of it, but I kept the title. I said, "Lord, I'll never let that message die." If you're here today and you're about ready to quit, don't give up.
Amen.
Put your paw back on. Keep pawing in the valley. I remember I was preaching down in Southern Ohio a few years ago. It was a bunch of preachers there, and it was a big conference. And I remember preaching, and I remember right before I preached, and you preachers know what I'm talking about. The Lord put my heart. Someone's going to quit. Someone said they're going to quit right after this service is over. And I said, "I'm going to preach this message, but before I do, I want to tell you something. Some of you have said before you came, we'll go to the service and finish out the revival, and then we're going to quit." And some of you might have said that very thing before you came to church today. "I'm going to go today and then we're going to quit." And I remember preaching that message, pawing in the valley and not quitting and not giving up and keep fighting in the battle and staying in the battle and not giving up on God and not giving up on life and not giving up on the struggle. And I remember preaching and said, "And don't you give up, wherever you are out there, don't you give up." And I remember giving the invitation, and I'm not going to, a preacher that if I would say, a preacher and his wife, that if I would say their name right now, the majority of this church, many, at least 50% or more, would know who I'm talking about. A prominent preacher. They came weeping and they hugged me and they were crying. He said to me, "My wife and I said the exact statement before we came to church tonight. Thank you for telling us a message from God." Look up here. You young people, even Brother Tony, that's a preacher right there. You don't know. They come up and they do, didn't they do tremendous?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, praise God. This young lady right here, phenomenal. But you don't know, they gotta see, I teach my preacher boys, and I'm sure Dr. John's taught you. I don't care how you feel, I don't care what you think, I don't care what's going through your life. When you walk in front of God, you put on a face, you put on a smile, and you give it all you've got. You can go back and cry afterwards, but while you're out there, people are counting on you.
Amen.
I don't care what your personal problems are. You go out there and you serve God, and you be a blessing to those people. That God's counting on you to reach those people.
Amen.
And many times, and you might even have a young man or young lady preach your day. And other preachers all around America, they might have said in their heart, "Man, I'm tired. Man, I wish I could quit. Maybe I'll just finish out this term. That'll be it." You'd be surprised. I mean, people in this church today, you that came today, you might say, "I'm thinking about quitting. I'm thinking about giving up." Can I tell you something? I know we live in troubled times. I know it's not easy. But can I tell you something? We're on the winning side.
Amen.
We're on the didn't you kids sing in the Sunday school? Didn't you sing a song, "We're on the winning side," or something? What was some of the songs? Give me the three songs you sang. Nothing but maturity. You were talking about going to heaven. I'm taking it for a journey now. I'm gonna tell you, hey, God reckons us as we're already there.
Amen.
A I've been teaching the Sunday school class. Hey, I'm not worried about getting to heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians, God already sees us risen in Him.
Amen.
I'm already here. Philippians 3:20 says our conversation's in heaven.
Amen.
I'm not worried about getting there. I'm not flipped out. I'm not eating too many hot dogs and pickles last night. Eating peanut butter sandwiches, peanut butter and cup cups. I know I'm at 745 North Freedom Street. I know I'm there. But Brother Mike, God sees me.
Yep.
Even though I'm standing right here right now, God sees me because I have faith in Christ. God sees me as though I'm already there.
Yes.
See, my journey, even though I'm doing a journey right now, Brother Tony, really, God says, you're just pilgrim, you're just passing through.
Yes.
He already reckons us up there already.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
Let me say something to you. Well, I know we're going through different times right now, but don't give up. Grandma won't be long. We'll all be with Grandpa. Amen? She had one of the most precious husbands. I was so honored to be his pastor. He went to be with the Lord a few months. Has it been 2 years yet? 2 years. Grandpa Lumley could tell a story, and he had about 1,000 different stories. He lived into his 90s, and he could tell you most of those stories by word for word for you. I mean, he was phenomenal. Best storyteller I ever told. He was tremendous. But I want to say something to you. You're here today, and you're going through some real struggles in life. Don't quit.
Amen.
Don't give up. Look at that verse 14. And by the way, I'm only going to get to about one point. I'll do the rest of it tonight. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do a two-part message today because I had a feeling we weren't going to get time, and I like to preach. Amen. Look at that 2 Peter verse 14, in chapter 3, verse 14. Beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. How many see that? Can I ask you something? I know there are some big things coming. And I know there's some major things ahead of us. But the question is, what are you looking for? It says there, look at verse 14. Ye look for such things. What are you looking for? Are you even looking for anything? Do you know what to look for? You know, this King James Bible that I have in my hand is a pure word of God.
Amen.
Inspired, preserved.
Amen.
100%.
Yes, sir.
All beef. Amen.
Amen.
The real thing. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You can trust this book.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. It's got every answer. Young people, look up here.
Yes, sir.
You got more stress and pressures on you.
Man,
I'm telling you right now, I'm glad I wasn't a kid when I was. I had it made compared to what you kids go through today.
Yep.
This Bible's got everything, every answer you need for life.
Amen. Exactly right.
Every answer you, every question you have, this Bible's got an answer for everything for you.
Amen.
It's got an answer for you. By the way, it's got an answer for every person here, no matter what age group they're in. The Bible teaches us that God is dealing with man in all different ages. I thought about the 7 dispensations of men. You know, they haven't worked out too good, but one day they're gonna. I thought about the age of innocence. Remember Adam and Eve, and aren't you glad it wasn't Adam and Steve?
Yes.
7 dispensations. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we call that the age of innocence. And preachers, I'm not going to do exact verses, but I'm going to give it a little sketch outline. So don't say, man, that preacher was off 2 verses. But in Genesis 1 and 2, Brother Mike, God talked about how he dealt with the age of innocence with Adam and Eve. Then they fell and they were expelled out of the Garden of Eden. Then you went in the age of conscience. And that was from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 7. And then you had you had the flood come in there in Genesis 6. And by the way, that was a worldwide flood. Not just in a few places over there in over in the Middle East. No, it was the whole world was flooded. Then you had age of innocence, age of conscience, and you had age of human government. Noah and his 3 boys and their wives got off the ark, and they set up, they had a human government, but what happened? It ended up with a Tower of Babel, didn't it? They were all messed up, weren't they? Brother Brian, it seemed like no matter what age they're in, That word dispensation means just a different. It means just a time of a different, at various times that God works with people. The human government, Genesis 8 through Genesis 11. Then that blessed Abraham, the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Genesis 12 comes on the scene, and God gave him promises. And by the way, he said, "I'll bless them that bless you." In Genesis 12:3. Abraham, "I'll bless them, I'll bless you." And by the way, I hope America never turns their back on Israel. If we ever do, we're going to be in trouble. I think that's one reason that's holding back God's. There's two or three reasons I believe God's holding back his judgment on America, because America's so wicked. I told you, I preached to you last Sunday. The number one reason God's holding back is that if we don't quit winning souls, if we don't quit winning people to Christ, he's going to bring judgment. The only thing holding back the judgment of God is us winning souls. I think another thing is because we preach the gospel and we publish it. And another thing, I believe, because we protect Israel. We ever turn our back on Israel, we're in trouble. Because that's the apple of God's eye. So you had the age of innocency, age of conscience, age of human government. You got the age of promises, Genesis 12 to Exodus 18. Then you got Moses came on the scene, the age of law. Exodus 19 all the way to the end of the Bible, Malachi, Old Testament. And then you come to the church age. Matthew chapter 1. By the way, some people call it grace, but can I say something to you? It's always been grace. When Adam and Eve got saved, they got saved by grace. No one ever got saved by works. If you ever notice, as soon as Adam and Eve, the Bible says in Genesis 3:21 that God killed an innocent animal. And a lamb was slain. And God killed an innocent animal. And by the way, that lamb, that blood was shed to cover their nakedness. By the way, in Genesis 4, you see they had twins, Cain and Abel. And Cain offered up the best works of his hands, but God didn't accept that. But Abel offered up a lamb. Wonder who taught him that. Wonder who taught Abel to offer up that lamb. And why did he offer up that lamb? I'll tell you why. His mom and daddy was taught by God that the way you get your sins forgiven is through the shed blood of the lamb.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And so from Adam and Eve, over to Abraham, over to Moses, all the way up to Jesus, there was offering up a lamb for 4,000 years. For 4,000 years, people offered up the lamb.
Yep.
Then the real lamb came, which John the Baptist said was the Lamb of God, which taking away the sins of the world. And by the way, he was preordained before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:20. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Slain from the foundation of the world. You see, it's always been the blood. Think about that blood a lot, kids. That blood, that's what gets us our cleansing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that blood. You know, I used to, Brother Tony, for years, I'd read that over there in the New Testament about that the man that was standing there watching Jesus. And it says that as they were taking Christ to the cross, there was a man there. And then he dropped his cloth and ran away naked. You remember that? I think it was in the book of Mark. I said, for years, I said, "Lord, Why is that in there? It's only in there one time." Said there was a man watching Christ, and he left running, and as he fled, his garment came off, and he fled from Christ naked. And then they took Christ up to Calvary. For years, I wondered why that was in the Bible, because everything means something in the Bible. Nothing. Everything's trying to teach us something. And you get the commentaries, and the ones that you know, people write about. The ones you don't know, they don't know either. So, let me help you, young preachers. Get on your knees and study and beg and say, "God, please show me. Holy Spirit, reveal it to me." And for years I said, "God, there's a truth there, there's a truth there, there's a truth there. There's got to be something there you're trying to show me." One day it came to me. It didn't come from a tape. It didn't come from a book. And you don't have to agree with me. But I believe it's true. You know, for 4,000 years, they offered up a lamb for the blood atonement. God, when Adam and Eve sinned, God, the Bible says, came walking in the cool of the day. And there, Adam and Eve stood naked before God. And what did God do in Genesis 3:21? He had a lamb slain. 4,000 years passed. By the way, man's only been here 6,000 years.
Amen, that's right.
You kids, when they tell you, we've been here billions and billions of years, and all these findings are finding from billions, hogwash.
Amen. Amen.
Man's only been here 6,000 years, approximately. You see in Genesis 3:21, Adam and Eve stood before God naked, and they required something. They required to be clothed. And God said, kill a lamb, an innocent lamb. And 4,000 years later, here's Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. And this man was standing before Christ, before God. And just like Adam and Eve, he was standing naked. You see, man hadn't changed, Mike, over from the creation man all the way up to Christ. Man hadn't changed one bit. They were still sinners, still naked, and they still needed a slain lamb. And that man, Brother Tony, he was a picture saying to us, hey, we're no different than Adam and Eve. We need a lamb slain. And then Christ, who was the Lamb of God, went up to Calvary's hill. And there he was slain for that naked man and all of us so we could be redeemed. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's a picture and a type of all mankind. Sinner, naked, standing lost, condemned, guilty, in need of a lamb to be slain. Can anyone say amen? You like it? I like it too. It's good. But you had the church age, and that's what we're in right now. It's always been, people call it the grace age, but it's always been grace.
Yes, sir. That's right.
All the way to Revelation 19. Then you got the kingdom age. Revelation chapter 20. The whole chapter 20 is talking about the kingdom age. And then Revelation 21, 22. That's your eternity. So you got seven dispensations. Number eight is your eighth one. Number one, age of innocence. Number two, age of conscience. Number three, human government. Number four, promise. Number five, law. Number six, the church age. Number seven is the kingdom age. And then we go out in eternity, which is eight. That's eternity. And see, here's your numbers. Your kids probably know numerology. One, true living God. Two, number of witness. Three is a divine number. Jesus rose on the third day. Four is a type of the world. Lazarus is a type of the world. He was in the grave 4 days and four nights. What did he have to have? He had to have Christ come and raise him up. All people are dead in their sins, and they need Christ to raise them up. That's the type of the world. Four. Number five. Five has double meaning. In the Old Testament, it's death. David had five stones when he went to kill Goliath. And five in the Old New Testament is life. Grace. Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two small fishes. Amen? Six is the number of man. God made man on the sixth day. Seven is God's perfect number.
Amen.
Eight, I'm finally getting around to it. Eight is a new beginning, salvation. There was eight people in the ark. See, God started all over new. And see, it's a new start. Eight, new being, type of salvation. See, there's eight people. Are you with me? Are eight people in the ark? Ark was a type of Christ. I'm here with the preacher yet. Nine is in the finished work of Jesus Christ in the ninth hour. It's finished. Nine is the finished work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And keep right on going. 12 for the nation of Israel. 40 is a testing. So John, there's different numbers. But I said that for a reason. Isn't that something? In Revelation 21, 22, we go out in eternity, new beginning. By the way, it's finally going to be right then. It's right now we're though in the church age, and we're waiting for Christ to come back. Now listen, look at verse 8, 2 Peter, and it's already 12 o'clock. I'm hoping to get to point 1. I have 11 points, 12 points. You have to get the tape, because this is just my introduction. I'm not kidding you either. I knew I was doing, and I rewrote this twice so I could cut it. Isn't that amazing? There's so much in the Bible, that's why. Look at verse 8 in 2 Peter 3. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day. One day, 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. God made man on the sixth day. I don't know exactly when Christ is coming back, but I believe in all my heart that he's going to come back in the year 6,000. Now, we have a calendar, but that don't say that our calendar is right. God has a calendar too. 1,000 is one day to the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. I believe God made man on the sixth day. I believe he's teaching 6,000 years. Are you with me? You don't have to believe that. Not the Bible, I'm just saying what I believe. How many are with me yet? And I don't know exactly when Jesus is coming back. And by the way, no one else does either.
Right.
Matthew 24:36. I love all these bird brains. I wrote a book, and I was in prayer and fasting for 55 days. And the Holy Spirit of God revealed to me the exact time and hour that he's coming back. If you believe that, I can sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. Matthew 24:36 says no one knows the hour. Not even the angels, except for the Father. No one knows the time. By the way, I'm glad we don't know the time. But what, you know what I do know, young people? I know for sure that he's coming. For some reason, I want you to look at Acts chapter 1 with me. Acts chapter 1. I want you to get this verse in your heart. It's one of my favorite passages. I don't know exactly when Christ is coming back, but I know he is coming back. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, talking about Christ. He was taken up in a cloud, received them out of their sight. And while I'm in Acts 1:10, and while they stood, looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, which stand ye gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus, which, by the way, he's not a 90-foot Jesus like Oral Roberts used to say. This same Jesus, I'll tell you, there's a lot of idiots out there. There really is. What's amazing, the world's so deceived they believe him. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner. What's he doing? He shall come in like manner. What's he doing? Shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming. Amen. Because he gave me his promise. And his promises are sure. Don't get all frustrated. Don't get all stressed out. I've decided I'm not going to worry about when he comes. I just believe he's coming. And I'm going to look for him and live for him and love him and try to serve him all the days of my life. Now listen, we're going to be here as long as he decides we're going to be here. And teenagers, now listen to me, teens, listen to me. Don't get stressed out and say, well, preacher, if he's coming real soon, does that mean I'm not going to get married and have all the fun like you and your wife? A preacher, why should I even talk to Brother Tony? Why should I even talk about going to Grace Baptist College? He's going to come back anyway. Because you don't know when he comes back.
Right.
The Apostle Paul thought he was going to come back.
Yep.
In his day.
Yep.
Now that, I'm like you, preacher. I really am. I think no one should go to any college as if they know for sure God wants them to go there.
Right. Amen.
But if God speaks you to go to Bible college, and by the way, that's a great college they have, and we're going to be referring our kids to your college.
Amen.
I highly recommend this college.
Amen.
And if God speaks you to go to Bible college, this is one you should pray about. Don't worry about Jesus coming back. You, listen, all you need to know is God's will for today. He'll take care of the tomorrow.
Amen.
By the way, when I was a young kid your age, when I started preaching, I was 21. Yeah, you're right. I thought he was coming back then. I thought, sure, but you're 2000. That Y2K, everybody says, we'll get along with Y2K. There was a guy in Toledo, went to Bible college with me years ago. He went on TV, Channel 11. Said, Christ is coming back or I'll resign. I called him up and I said, brother, no one knows the time.
That's right.
You're bringing a reproach to Christ, and you're going to lose your pastorate. He said, I don't care, Brother Rich. I'm going to do it. God told me. I said, he didn't tell you that.
That's right.
You know, a lot of times you say, God didn't tell you that.
Yes.
God never goes against his word.
Amen.
I said, that's a seducing spirit.
Amen.
Well, he went on Channel 11 and said, they went, those people were lost. They went up, they went to moron. They were out there filming them. Well, I guess he's not going to show up. At least not for this church. He did the right thing. He resigned.
Amen.
Last time I saw him, he was selling life insurance. Hello? Listen, I don't know when Christ is going to come back. You might get gray and old like the old man before he comes back. Matter of fact, the Jewish calendar, I think the Jewish calendar, I haven't looked up lately, I think it's like 5,800.
Yes.
Somewhere in that area.
57,
close to 5,800. Yes. That'd be over 200 more years if you went by the Jewish calendar.
Yes.
I'm not going by it though. I'm not going by the Roman calendar either. Hey, God's got a set time.
Yep.
Look up here. You got to get this. You got to get this. I'm not going to get to preach my message today, but I'm going to get this across to you. Whatever time we have, whether it be long or short, make it count.
Amen.
Make it count. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Listen. I remember. Are you kids 21 yet? Are you 22? I surrendered to preach when I was 20, and I had dark hair, and I was only 158 pounds. I had some good days too, and I can preach. I brought pictures and showed them in my church. This was a preacher years ago. I used to only be one person. Check them out there. And man, I'll tell you, I thought, man, I'll stay young all the rest of my life. I'm still young. I just my age, my body age, but I'm still young in heart. And it was a top. Jake, I gotta get your name here, Jake, it just seems like that. Mm-hmm. I was like you and now.
Yes, sir.
I've been past in a couple weeks here, I'll be here 19 years.
Amen.
And it just seems like me and Rosie just moved here. Time goes by fast.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't worry about how much time you've got.
Yep.
Use the time that you have.
Amen.
Amen.
No one has, listen, none of us are promised tomorrow.
Right.
Yes. So whatever we have, let's use it for today.
Amen.
Let's not get caught up in all the things and let people distract us. Use what God gives you today.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to say this, we're going to close. I got 12 points, Doc. 12 points. Yeah. That's a compliment, thank you. What's coming, preacher? By the way, we'll do some real quick ones tonight. Come back tonight, I'm giving you. The people say to me, well, what's coming, preacher? What can we look for? I'll turn to one scripture and I'll close. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll close with this thought. I'll give you the first point. There's a lot of time. Rosie, I'm glad you told me to come a little bit later. on the food. We got some great food coming up.
Amen.
For my tenants.
Yeah.
We have my tenants. Yes. We have good food here. We have about the best of food you're going to have.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I had one who's going to give you hot dogs here.
Lots of hogs. Yes.
Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me throw my Bible.
Forget the notes. I never did get the notes. I never did look at one note. It was nice making them, though. Look at Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm sorry. Chapter 2, look at verse 1 through 3. Point 1, there's going to be a falling away. What do you see coming, preacher? Here's my message. What do you see coming, preacher? Point 1, I see a great falling away, and it's already started. Look what it says there. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord. He's coming, whether or not, I don't care what people say, he's coming.
Yeah.
Of our Lord Jesus, and by our gathering together unto him. Hallelujah! I can't wait. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, neither by letter, nor by letter as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. By the way, if you'll keep reading here, that man of sin be revealed, son of perdition.
Can I say this and I'll go back to my first point? This is not even a point at all. It's just an extra IGA coupon, a giant eagle coupon. Don't get caught up saying, who's the Antichrist? Is it Mr. Kissinger? Is it this? Is it Mr. Obama? Is it this? Is this? Is that? Hey, I don't care who it is, and I'm not worried who it is. If you keep reading, it says he won't be revealed till we're gone.
What's that verse? Look at verse. I'll come back to the first point. Verse 4, who is opposed and exalts up above all that's called God, that's worshipped as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember that when I was yet with you, I told you that these things, and now you know that whatsoever that he might be revealed at this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he, the Holy Spirit, who now let us, will let, until he be taken out. When we're taken out, hallelujah, we're going up, amen? Then shall the wicked be revealed. The Antichrist is not going to be revealed till we're out of here. Now, I believe he's alive right now because I believe the rapture is soon. I believe he's somewhere in the world somewhere doing something, getting prepared to take over the world. And I'll say some things about it tonight. But we get distracted. You know, when I was a young kid, Lee Robinson, you know Dr. Lee Robinson in heaven now. I got to preach with Lee Robinson when I was a young kid. The Lord knew that. He told me one thing. He said, just preach on what things you know.
Amen.
Don't try to impress people. Just preach what you know. Always remember that when you're preaching and when you're teaching. Don't try to walk the dog and be something like you're not. Just preach what you know. I love you kids. You're the hope of America.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.
Matter of fact, I love young preachers so much. Sometimes I get one preacher, I forget about the rest of the church. I just thank God for the young preachers. But people get caught up on arguing, well, no, he's it. I'm not even worried. Brother Richard, we're not even going to be here.
Amen.
Whoever the Antichrist is, let him be it. I don't care, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm not going through the tribulation, I'm going to be in heaven. Point one, last one for this message. There's going to be a, verse 3 says there's going to be a falling away, and you've already seen it. I read to you earlier, out of the first 108 colleges, 106 were Christian colleges. It says, I read to you about back in 1700, it says that the Supreme Court and the Senate and stuff, they said, we recommend the Bible into all schools. Now you can't even bring a Bible to a school.
Yes.
Now there's a movement, of course, it's been for many years. They've been taking all kinds of Bibles and trying to get people to go, like the NIV, KEY, MOUSE, Mickey Mouse. That's what those Bibles are. All those perversion Bibles, don't get caught with those perversions.
Yes, sir.
Just take the old King James Bible.
Amen.
That's when I got saved. That's when I grew up with. That's when they taught me. That's all you need.
Amen.
That's where all the great new Bibles come from.
Amen.
You don't need another Bible. You don't need another book. Just stay with that old book right there.
Amen.
And you don't have to let no one take it from you either.
Amen.
I'm worried about young preachers in America. They don't know they got a Bible anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Brother, they're going to know it in this church. Thought about the falling away. I was talking to Brother Carmen yesterday. You know, we've killed over 40 million babies in abortion.
Yes, sir.
Abortion. God's going to judge America for killing babies. Abortion is murder.
Yes.
Abortion is murder.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yeah, if you kill an animal. And by the way, I'm not saying I want to kill animals.
Help us, preacher.
I'm not talking about being cruel to animals, but I'm going to tell you right now. They'll go to, if you kill a deer or a dog or a snake or a rabbit. A few years ago, there was a lady in Florida had a crocodile on her porch, and I think she shot it, and they put her in jail. Bless God, you get a crocodile on my front porch over there, I'm going to run, I'm either going to grab my 9mm, or I'm going to grab my shotgun and put some deer slugs in, and I'm going to boom, 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 in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's a dead alligator! Come knock on my door, Gator.
Hey,
I'm not from Florida.
Hey, what about the bear?
I'm a Buckeye. I'll shoot that bear too. Wow, you're just cruel. Yeah, you'll make fun. You'll save the whale, and you'll save the seals, and I see people up there, and I thank God for people caring. But you know what? Why don't we get upset them killing all them babies?
Yes, sir.
See, they fell from the truth.
Yep.
Falling away.
Yep. Amen.
They'll teach you can't spank your children.
Yep.
Bible Proverbs over and over says to spank your child.
Yep.
Matter of fact, it says you better chase them while there's still hope.
Yeah, amen. Yep.
And it says at bedtime, that means when they're early, when they're young, like little babies. Now, that don't mean you beat them.
That's right.
That's right.
Right.
But ladies and gentlemen, we've come so away far. I promise I'll quit. Look at Romans chapter 1. I'm just getting started, but I'm going to quit. I'm on the falling away. I'm on point one, falling away. Look at Romans chapter 1. The old people, they don't have no problem with it, but the kids, young kids need to see this. Look at verse 20, Romans chapter 1, verse 24, and I promise I'll quit. Promise I'll quit after I'm done preaching this. Wherefore, I'm in Romans 1, 24. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature and more than the creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. See, that's not an alternate lifestyle. Men with men, women with women are evil. It's an abomination to God. I don't care what they teach you in school. I don't care what they say on TV. I don't care what they tell you in the college classrooms. It's evil. It's an abomination from God. For this cause God gave up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into their which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves with recompense of their error, which was meat, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Don't tell me them queers are saved. Oh, preacher, you can't say that. I can't. I just said it. Did you know in a few years they'll be putting me in jail? Because they're right now, there's on the books, they're trying to get a law called hate crimes. And right now, see, I'm telling you that people, they left the truth. See, I'm telling you truth. They're falling from the way, from the truth. And Brother Bobby, what used to be just right and wrong, now preachers that preach run right. We're wrong for preaching on it, according to the country. And as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I'm going to tell you right now, sodomy, lesbians, that's evil, it's an abomination to God, and God said it's wrong, and it was wrong back then, it's still wrong today. They can put us in jail, but I'm going to tell you, you young people, if the Lord doesn't come back, you young people, you better get that deep in your heart. No, you listen, are you already preachers? You get it deep in your heart. Because when the old men are gone, now I'm going to spit, and I'm going to grab people, and I'm going to knock people out, and I'm going to fight as long as I can.
Amen.
Till, listen, they take my teeth, they take my false teeth out, and I'm gone. But in every meeting I have, I'm going to stay with that old Bible that you have.
Amen.
And I don't care what some nitwit up there in Washington, D.C. says.
Yep.
I'm going to let God be true in every man alive.
Amen.
And I don't care what the religion says. Do you know, I'm not proud of this. Do you know I like visitors out in my announcements sometimes? I actually have whole, I'm not proud of it. I actually had families come and visit our church. And just because my announcements would be kind of fundamental, they got enough before I preached. I had people come to this church have corners. Because most churches don't preach true. Most of them are panty wearing, sissy wissy, pink wearing silk panty. Stokes. Well, I don't appreciate that. Let's stay down and do a little more.
Amen.
I'm an old guy. I'm having a hard time living in 2009 because I don't have a Facebook. I don't have an iPad. I don't have an iPod. I don't have a tweeter. I don't have none of that stuff. I don't want none of that stuff. I don't know what it is, I don't care about it. I've got a cell phone, and I don't know how to work that. I just hope I get it right and it comes out. They didn't have those when I grew up. They didn't have computers when I was a kid.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You kids, you've been listening so mad. If the Lord doesn't come back, He's coming back.
Amen.
But all your great preachers, most of them are gone.
Yep.
The only ones are Dr. Hobbs, Dr. Hudson, Lee Robinson, you just name them. Just keep naming all you want. Let's enroll. They're all gone. And some of these old guys like me still got the silver hair, still got the spins. By the way, I still take my microphone now. I'm not an old guy. I just got silver hair. I'm coming, Martha. Get this. He said, I never had a guy. I'm old time. I said, you're probably coming off. But you're not here. And I'm not ashamed of being old time.
Amen.
I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. I'm telling right now, I'm not going to change. But what I'm worried about is young kids like me. I've got a young preacher, my son. He's a preacher boy.
Amen.
He's got it deep in his heart. He says, here's what's going to happen. If you don't have it deep in your heart, when you're going to get tough, and it's going to get tougher. We're going to need some real preachers.
Yes.
And if Jesus don't come back, and the old guys that ain't going to compromise die off. You got it.
Yep.
You got to pass it on. 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 Hey, Bethel Baptist Church, you got to pass it on.
Amen.
You young people are going to be deacons and preachers' wives and Sunday school teachers. You got to pass it on.
Yep.
You gotta get it down deep in your heart. You gotta get it down deep in your heart. I don't care if you kill me. I don't care if you rip my tongue out. You're not gonna get it out of it.
We need some old-time Christianity.
Yep.
And we need some preachers. We got a lot of weak need preachers. They're worried about people getting mad at them. I get mad at them. I don't care about them. My wife's got a great saying. Scratch your bum and get wet. Isn't that great theology? Yeah. Well, this guy is not refined at all. No, I'm not refined. And I don't want to be refined. If refining has to be, if refining means being a compromiser, I'm not. You get it down deep in your heart. Not because Brother Tony says it. Not because Brother John says it. Because you know God can make it. Because if it's not in your heart, when the pressure comes, that's when it comes. You've got the heritage. If you're a newbie coming church and we won't come more, you've got the heritage. You're like my kids. I'll quote this. My church says, like, he's really lying. You were brought on the cross. I guarantee you were brought on the cross like my kids. I drug in the Sunday school. I drug in the church, morning church. I drug in the morning, Sunday night church, and Monday night church.
What's going to happen, preacher? We're already seeing one thing. People are leaving the truth. Don't you leave the truth. I'm gonna give you. And by the way, you don't need a crystal ball, or you don't need the Witch of Endor to tell you what's going to happen.
Yep.
You don't have to bring up an old prophet. I'm going to show you in the scripture tonight, verse by verse, what's going to happen. What are the coming things that are going to come? What's coming? I'm just going to show you the scriptures tonight. Boom, 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 boom. This is what's coming. Are you ready for it? Some of you are about ready to quit. Some of you are ready to give up. Some of you said, I can't take no more, preacher. Yes, you can.
Yep.
The Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. The Bible says, God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Get it! Get it down in your heart! Get it down in your heart! Get it down in your heart! And never let it go! Never, 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 never let it go! Have it in your heart. Jesus is coming soon. Tommy, let's just keep preaching those senior citizens till Jesus comes. Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Oh God, help us in these trying days with all the stress, with all the pressures, with all the heartaches and the sorrows, with all the distractions. Oh God, help us in this church age, in this church dispensation age. Help us to cling to the promises of God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before we go home, how many could say, preacher, I'm saved, and I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put him down. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. There's a heaven, there's a hell. Don't preach on that. People don't want to hear about hell, preacher. Well, Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. That's why he died, so we wouldn't have to go to hell. You're here today, don't go to hell for the devil. Don't go to hell for nobody. It's not God's will that anybody goes to hell, especially you. If you're not saved, you ought to come and get saved. Ask Christ to save your soul. Get all your sins forgiven. Who would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Just raise a hand. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. You don't want to die and go to hell. Don't worry what people's thinking. Don't care what other. Just come up here and get saved. Just step out of your seat right now. Don't wait for next week. What next week might never come. That's Satan whispering in your ear now. God's saying, come, come. He's saying, come right now. If you've been saved, you're going to get baptized. Come get baptized right now. Whatever how God. Some of you here while we're praying, you say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about quitting. God spoke to me not to quit today. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. Yes. Yes.